Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, hockey fans from Canada to Germany, from if you're in Sweden, if you're in Toronto, if you're in the United States, welcome to Game Over International for the 2024 IIHF World Junior Hockey Championship, sponsored by SDPN and EP Ringside. We have on today's show, from the hockey news, Tony Ferrari on as a last minute addition. Tony, welcome to Game Over. Bit more of a nail biter than we were expecting, even though the Toronto. Wow. See, I'm conditioned. Canada comes out 6-3 in what ended up being way more of a nail biter than I think we all expected until basically the last 15 minutes. Germany not going quietly into the night.
Yeah, it was an interesting game because as someone who is writing quarterfinal previews, it wasn't fun seeing Germany almost ruin everything I wrote.
Yeah, yeah. And they definitely came very close. They definitely fought all the way to the end. And they started it off actually getting the very first goal only 2 minutes and 57 seconds in. And we are going to talk later in the show about the Connor Geeky penalty 11 seconds into the game, which led to his not playing in the game. Like I said, we are going to talk about that more in the second half of the show, because I imagine that'll be a lengthy conversation that we want to chat about. Right out of the gate, Germany putting up a good fight. They're leading scorer Julian Lutz, who is the prospect of the Arizona Coyotes and one hell of a player. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not usually one to follow German hockey, but definitely noticeable on the German side today. My goodness.
Yeah, Julian Lutz is kind of the last guy remaining from that few years of really good German hockey we had with Stützle, Seider, Lucas Reichel, and J.J. Paterka. Julian Lutz is the last kind of guy left over, and he's really shown up this year, done a really good job for Germany. Unfortunately, they will be in the relegation round against Norway, but this kid is, he's a legit NHL prospect for the Coyotes, and he'll be interesting to follow over the next couple of years.
Definitely easy to see in today's game why he went 43rd overall. It seemed like every time he was on the ice, he was making something happen for Germany. He was far and away like their most offensive threat. He was getting the most space. He was making the best passes and having the most plays. And he is the person that puts Germany on the board first. Russo actually did a pretty good job keeping it only 1-0 towards the end of that Germany power play 5 minutes, which is a rough start. I mean, listen, especially after Canada lost the other day to Sweden, you would think that Canada coming in was going to have a little bit more bite to start, but being handicapped right at the beginning of the game is a tough way to get going for any team, I would imagine.
Yeah, we'll talk about whether it was a penalty or not in a little bit. But 5 minutes down on the penalty kill, it's a death sentence in a lot of games. This was one of those games where Canada really wasn't able to get going after that penalty kill for a little while. They took the 2-1 lead, then they go down and they get tied. And then Germany takes a three, ties it up at three. And then you're like, what is happening? Is Canada really going to lose this game? Because it wasn't like it was 15 minutes in. It was right until the third period where Canada finally was able to start to pull away.
And it felt like that the whole game. It felt like the more the game went on, the better Germany was getting and the more confidence they were playing with. Like right out of the gate, like you said, it's uncommon for 5-minute penalties to be issued in the first 15 seconds of any game, whether it's international or not. And so definitely a rough start for Canada, but Macklin Celebrini starting and ending it for Canada today, getting Canada on the board a minute and 20 seconds after they actually finished killing that penalty off. Definitely keeping them in the fight, right? If Germany gets a second goal on that 5-minute major, it's probably a different game, even though it felt way more lopsided than it kind of was, or it should have been, I suppose. The Matt Poitras shot, Cowan's speed was just unbelievable tonight. And then he draws a penalty. Canada was doing a really good job, even though they weren't as successful on the power play as Germany was tonight. One of the things I really noticed, and I'm sure you noticed the same thing, was how much they were compressing the German defense into a small area. And it seemed like it was going to work until they kept trying to force these cross-crease passes for the one-timer from the dot. Like, what do you see on that play? Are you also getting frustrated, like, watching from your couch being like, stop trying to force this?
Yeah, it's one of those plays or one of those things where you watch it and you go, stop trying to pass the puck into the net. You're not going to score that way. Mm-hmm. I think you're the host of Game Over Toronto. There's lots of Leafs fans that are probably watching this game, especially with Minton and Cowan involved. And they're going, oh, man, this feels like a Leafs power play from a few years ago. And even still today, when they start to struggle, this is what they do. You overpass the puck. You want to do something crazy. You want to make the perfect play rather than the play that's going to work. At the end of the day, you're going to just score some ugly goals. That Macklin Celebrini goal at the end of the game, yeah, it looks really pretty, but it's a result of a bunch of chaos happening and Celebrini hitting the net when the goalie is outside of it. It's not always pretty. This game wasn't pretty.
No.
Canada needs to stop trying to be so dang pretty because at the end of this team isn't that. We don't have Connor Bedard. We don't have some of these high-end offensive talents. So you end up with these ugly, goofy scores like this one. And at the end of the day, Canada just doesn't have that high-end talent to make those pretty plays as much as they want to.
Yeah, and even though we have had players in the past that are able to make those kinds of plays, I totally agree with you. That shouldn't be your go-to. Like, if in the moment it happens and it happens to go in, great. But they were definitely overcomplicating it. And especially in the first period, you could see, and I thought even more so in the second period, that they were getting like visibly frustrated trying to get specific people the puck for specific plays. And you need to be a little bit more opportunistic, which is something that Germany was able to capitalize on tonight. Germany was very opportunistic, and it's what kept them in the fight for the most part of the game. Canada does actually end up getting a second goal in the first period. Braden Jaeger getting one from Nate Danielson with 5:23 to go. The missed high stick on Minton. I mean, we're going to talk about the penalties later on in the game, but the missed high stick on Minton, if that is called, then, you know, then we go into the second period tied 1-1, and maybe the Canadians have even less confidence than they did, which, again, it's dazzling that Germany was able to put up such a fight. And I know that a couple years ago, Germany, like you said, was playing really hard and they had an excellent team, but I wasn't expecting Germany to push back and be as opportunistic as they were tonight. And, like, credit where credit's due, like, they took the opportunities that Canada gave them and they made good on them. Can we really briefly talk about Hoff going after Poitras like multiple times in this game? Like, that was,
it's one of these things where I think it's one of those plays where you choose a guy and you got to get after him. You got to try to rattle his cage. Matthew Poitras is supposed to be one of the best guys in this team. He had a good game today, but he hasn't really quite produced like it so far.
Right.
And get under his skin. Make sure he stays off his game. Don't let him have his get right game against you. And that's what the Germans tried to do today. I think they probably should have focused on Celebrini, who's very much been their best player despite being the youngest player on the roster and really their only consistent player. But yeah, this German club, they were going to have to fight tooth and nail to try to win this game. And honestly, I think it's less of a testament of full credit to the German squad for doing what they did. But I think it's also a testament to just the Canadian club not being as strong as they have been in years past. Mm-hmm. This is a team that is good, not great. In my opinion, they're in the second tier of medalists, medal contenders this year. I think you have USA and Slovakia, or USA and Sweden up top. And then you have Canada in that mushy mess with Slovakia, Czechia, and even Finland after their performance today against Sweden. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of works out towards the medal rounds and in these quarterfinals, because Canada's going to end up playing a really good Czech team.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you in the fact that it doesn't feel like it's the same kind of elite just inevitability that has been the case with Canada in the last couple of years. Don't get me wrong, like, if just looking at the product on the ice, like, if you weren't watching the score, Canada was the bigger team. They were getting some good opportunities. They were having pretty good, like, zone control in terms of, like, getting the puck and clearing it. But there was a lot of disconnection, a lot more than we've seen in years past. And I don't know if it's just like a different set of guys that maybe just aren't gelling the same way, or you have a bunch of guys that are just maybe gripping their sticks a little too hard and trying too hard to make the nicer or cleaner play. Whereas in seasons past, even though we've had players that have that level of elite talent, they're better in terms of capitalizing on those opportunities and not wasting them to try and get someone else the puck. It was tight going into the first intermission, even though the shots were severely lopsided, 13-4, Germany does get one of four in, so not a great statistic. But starting the second period, Warren gets a holding penalty, a minute and 26 seconds in. Germany capitalizes. Kiescher goes up on a screen. Rosso, he was having a rough game tonight, eh?
Yeah, it was a tough game because you watch the Germans' goals and you're like, well, yeah, that's one that the goalie can kind of get forgiven for because of the screen. Nah, that's just a really good shot. At the end of the day, I mean, these fans know it. I'll reference that again. Sometimes you need a save. Sometimes you need the tip shot saved. And there's a goalie on waivers today that hasn't been doing that. And Canada's goalie today, as good as he's been throughout this tournament, wasn't really the difference maker he was earlier in the tournament. And maybe that's just a testament to Canada kind of looking really bad on the back end today. They let a lot of guys free. They a lot of holding, clutching, and grabbing. Noah Warren, Maverick Lamoureux, these guys in the back end, it's a lot of physicality. Mm-hmm. Not much puck moving, not much skill. And they're missing that with a guy like Tristan Luneau and Tanner Mullendike, who were both out before the tournament started. So it's an interesting composition of defenders. And I think that's led to some pretty great A chances for the Germans. But you need a save once in a while.
I'm glad you brought up that there is a goalie that does happen to be on waivers today. It was definitely, it seemed more like as the game went on that Canada's defense was really struggling to close the gap, to get possession back. Like, once they had possession, it seemed like they were okay and they were able to clear it. But there was more than a couple times where they thought that they had the pass and it was actually going through to the German player behind them, right? So, obviously, with those losses before the tournament started, I'm sure that their defense was kind of shook up a little bit. But, you know, at this point, we're, what, four games in now? And we're getting to the elimination round, and it's only going to get harder to play, and the other teams are only going to be better. So I would imagine that if Canada plays the way that they did tonight, then they maybe are not victorious against Czechia on Tuesday. But let's finish the game before we start foreseeing the future, shall we? Matt Poitras, even though he's hit into the boards a second time by Hoffman, cross-checked 3:46 into the second period. He had a couple opportunities tonight where it seemed like there was just so many times where the goalie is out of place, there's a cluster in front of the net, and no person in a Canada jersey could bury it. Like, there must have been, what, half a dozen chances in the second period alone where the puck is either, like, very gently drifting through the crease, or it's, you know, it's on the player's stick, and instead of, you know, banking it in, they're trying to do the fancy pass again. And it was really frustrating through the second period. Like, I mean, we end the second period tied at 2, and the shots are 25-8 for Canada. Like, there are so many times in that period specifically where Canada should have been up 3-4-5 goals to 1, and they just couldn't bury it, man. Just couldn't
happen. And I think that's a testament to the Germans' defensive strategy of, like you mentioned, closing in on the goalie,
yep,
creating that box, keeping everyone outside.
Yep.
And Canada, unfortunately, was happy to play on the outside. They didn't have that guy sitting at the back door to tap that puck in when it squeaked through the crease. They didn't have that guy ready for the rebound. And I think that was the big thing with Canada this in this game specifically, where is 6-3 as the final. It's really probably a 4-3 game, 5-3 game. This game should have been 8-3, 9-3 because Canada had those chances. They had those opportunities. There were pucks laying there ready to be just buried in the empty net. And Canada wasn't in the position to do so because they were so focused on passing that puck around the outside. They weren't getting it on the inside.
Yeah, and it was those same mistakes that were leading to so many of the opportunities when Germany would get a power play, right? Like the defensive breakdowns were so evident in that three of Germany's goals all come on the power play, right? And when you start off the game, 5 minutes major, like not a good start. What should have happened is the coach, at least in the first intermission, should have gone on and said, okay, guys, well, if they're making good on these power plays, we need to play smarter. We need to make better decisions with our sticks. And even though there was a couple of penalties that were missed, there are penalties that get called, and Germany basically capitalized on every opportunity that they got, right? And even though it is a team where, on paper, Canada should be completely just dummying them, the lack of defensive structure was really evident, and it's the reason that it was a nail biter all the way until basically 11 minutes left in the third period. One of the notes that I have, pucks literally sitting on the line, unburied, can't bury on so many chances. Cowan couldn't get a shot. Matichuk couldn't get a shot. It was like everybody's taking like the grocery line number and like everybody's number's being called and no one's going up to the counter. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, it's really frustrating, and you mentioned the penalties there and Canada taking too many. It's been a theme for Canada throughout the history of time, really, at the World Juniors. In Canada, everyone's always taught finisher checks, regardless of whether it takes you out of the play or regardless of whether it's a smart play to do it. And you notice how many times in these IHIF tournaments, the World Juniors and the U18 specifically, that Canada ends up being the team that gives up so many power plays. In this game, when you're the more skilled team, you should be getting more power plays because you should be the one blowing by defenders, forcing them to hook you, forcing them to trip you or throw a knee out or do something stupid to give you a power play. Unfortunately, almost every game of this tournament, Canada has given up more power plays, including in this game where they gave up. Both teams scored two power play goals. Germany got five power plays, though. You can't go down a man five times, especially when one of them are 5 minutes. It's not conducive to success. You're playing a third of the game or a sixth of the game, a fifth of the game on the penalty kill. You're not scoring goals that way.
Two penalties alone, right? They get the 5 minute major and then they get a double minor later on in the game. That's nearly a sixth of the game that you're going down by. Regardless of all of the other penalties that were called, like 9 minutes in any hockey game, regardless of what crest is on the front, is too many by most team standards. And so, like you said, I couldn't have said it any better. As Canada is a team that has struggled with taking so many penalties, that should never have happened, especially when you start off the game the way that it did. And I would actually say there was a penalty earlier in the game or in the game that I didn't think should have been called. The high stick, the double minor that shouldn't have been a penalty that was called a double minor. The follow through on the shot. Now, I guess the argument from the IIHRF was that because he didn't touch the puck, it didn't count as a shot. But I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
What call would you have made in that situation?
The IIHF is always going to side on the side of safety. They've always done that. It's always been their thing. When a guy whiffs on a puck when he doesn't touch it, is that a follow through? Technically, no. It has to be a sent pass or a sent shot to be a follow through. And when you're not sending one of those two things off your stick, then it's just you're careless with your stick and you're not control. The way I kind of see it is, if you don't have enough control to send that pass or send that shot off, you're not in control enough to call it a follow through. So while I get why there's a lot of people that don't like that penalty, it's probably one that you just go, you don't like to take it. But in the IIHF rulebook, that's a penalty all day, unfortunately.
Fair enough. Can't argue with that. It was definitely an unfortunate thing, but I agree. You are in charge of your stick, and if it hits someone else in the face, you're not allowed to do that. Anyway, Germany ends up tying it 3-3 with 12:28 to go. Julius Sumpf actually giving the Germans a little bit more life. But immediately following that, Germany took a slashing penalty. Canada gets a power play, and Jordan Dumas finally scores his first of the tournament on the beautiful, beautiful rebound and a great pass from Rakoff. Rakoff had a heck of a game, actually the whole game. He was probably one of the best players on Canada, at least from where I was sitting on my couch. Lutz and Bonk both go for the offsetting minors, still 5-5. Can you actually, after we talk about this, can you explain why the double offsetting minors, they're still doing 5-on-5 instead of 4-on-4?
It's just an IHF rule that they put into the, I don't know if it was this year or last year, but basically the reason they're doing it at the World Junior U18 and I think the men's level internationally is because they say that if you go to 4-on-4, it automatically favors the more skilled, higher end teams in the nations like Canada, US, Switzerland, or Sweden, Finland, even Slovakia. So if both guys are going off, why are you giving an advantage to one team? Leave it at 5-on-5. And give the Germans a fighting chance in a game like that. So, while I'm never one that says let's take away a chance for offense, I get it. Not a fan of it, but I get it.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you for explaining it, because they said it on the TV and I was like, well, that's kind of silly, but all right. Macklin Celebrini finally buries another one. That ridiculous, just absurd angle shot. Like, he's what, like 8 inches from the goal line, essentially? Like, just, it was like a David Beckham penalty corner kick. You know what I mean? Like, it was just a silly angle. That with 3:58 to go, second of the night for him. And then Germany pulls their goalie with 3 minutes to go. And then finally, Easton Cowan getting a point. Thank goodness. And putting the Canadians up 6-3 to ice the game. All kinds of players getting all kinds of points tonight. Owen Beck getting bearing his first of the tournament as well. All kinds of people getting goals that they definitely needed. So Macklin Celebrini ends up getting like player of the game for the game tonight, which hard to argue with. He was far and away Canada's best player for the game. I would say probably on both ends of the ice.
Yeah, he's been Canada's best player throughout the tournament, and they've been fortunate the last couple of years to have draft-eligible guys come in and be their best player. You don't have that every year. You don't get a Connor Bedard every year, and Macklin Celebrini certainly isn't Connor Bedard. Macklin Celebrini is Adam Fantilli, maybe. And if Fantilli's given the role that Celebrini was this year, maybe he scores the way he did last year. It's tough because you have guys up and down this lineup. Fraser Minton, Easton Cowan, two Leafs prospects. You have a guy like Matthew Poitras, who's playing the NHL for the entire season. Mm-hmm. There's so many guys up in the – Connor Geeky, who didn't play in this game, basically. Matthew Savoy, who was out with an injury. So many guys that should be the lead dog for this team that just haven't been there and haven't done it. And, I mean, Jordan Dumais scores in this game, but before that goal, even throughout this game, you could put up a missing persons poster for him because I haven't seen him in this tournament, really. Mm-hmm. It's been tough because this Canadian team has guys. No one showed up, unfortunately, except for Celebrini. Celebrini's been fantastic at both ends of the ice. There's a reason he's probably going to go first overall this June. And if you're a team getting that first overall pick, you're going to be pretty happy about it.
Yeah, definitely making an argument. It's funny. I was talking to Rachel Dory and Lauren Kelly recently about some of the players going into the tournament. And Lauren, who is a huge Owen Beck truther, I imagine she is just over the roof with him getting his goal tonight. Macklin Celebrini, definitely, even though he's not necessarily on the same caliber as Connor Bedard, I mean, how often do those players come along? Definitely making a show of force, I like to say, in the tournament today, especially with all the other players that simply haven't capitalized on the opportunities that they have. Like, don't get me wrong, Fraser Minton played fine tonight. I think he had a couple assists, but like, as the captain of the team, I was kind of hoping he would show up a little bit more, and it hasn't necessarily fallen that way, and it's a little bit unfortunate. There's still, you know, a little bit of tournament to go, but I think it feels a little bit like the Canadian team isn't isn't, like, if you look at it on paper and the number of people that have been drafted, they should be playing so much better than they have been. And I don't know if it's just, like, if it's the time travel or if it's something in the Swedish water or what, but the Canadian team just hasn't been playing as well as they should have. And there's no real, like, rhyme or reason to it. Now, obviously, when players are able to come in and make good on those opportunities, Macklin Celebrini only improving his draft capital, even though it's, you know, easily the most inflated at this point on the Canadian team. It's obviously unfortunate for someone like Connor Geeky, which I think is probably what we should talk about now, not getting the opportunity and being out in the first 11 seconds of the game. So let's rewind the clock back to the beginning of that first period. Connor Geeky, the first note that I have of the game, absolutely crushes Schindler 11 seconds in. And on this side of the pond, North American hockey, we celebrate and we cheer and scream and we have tic-tac-toe-mar, like, clip that gif and we recycle that when we're feeling sad for ourselves. But it's unfortunately, I think, the right call, especially with, you know, what you said earlier about the IIHF always siding on the side of safety. That's a clean hit on NHL paperwork, but there's a significant height difference between those two individuals, and boy did Schindler get his list absolutely rocked. My goodness.
Yeah, it was an interesting one because I was talking to some people online, and because I was complaining about Canada constantly just taking penalties after penalty.
Right.
And they were asking me what the Connor Geeky hit. And I went, listen, it's probably among the more gray area hits of the ones that have been penalized in this tournament and to have a player thrown out of the game. But the differentiating factor, at least in the IIHF, with that hit is rather than tucking his arms and going through the player, he kind of – explodes up into the player, leaves his feet just a little bit because he is exploding upwards. And that's the difference. I think if he tucks and goes through the guy, there's not a penalty on that play. Not even a 2 minute minor. So it's the explosion upwards. I know he's taller. If you're taller, explode down on the guy, crush him that way.
Yep.
Like you have that.
Throw your
advantage.
Hips out, man. You can hit him with exactly. The team in your chest.
Exactly. Connor Geeky is a big boy. He can throw some hits. I've seen him throw some hip checks. He doesn't need to explode up into a guy's torso, up into his face, up into his head. That's why he gets the penalty there. Is it the best hit? Yeah, it's a great hit. You look at that in North American hockey, like you said, not penalized, probably celebrated. With that said, it's also just goes with the flow of Canada. Throwing that extra hit, trying to explode, trying to murder a guy on every hit, when you could just take him out of the play really quickly, go through him, and then you probably have your momentum carrying you as well. So I don't love the hit. I don't hate the hit. It's gray area for me. But in the IIHF, that's a penalty every time.
Yeah, and the more they slowed it down, the more it was clear that the principal point of contact was the head. Well, regardless of whether or not it was intentional, the fact of the matter is you can't crank people on the noggin. It's just not kosher, especially when it's like young kids. Like, don't get me wrong, I love a clean NHL hit as much as the next guy. And if I had my way, I would love for someone like Connor Geeky to come in and start a Leafs game just like that. Like, oh, it would be chicken soup for a Leafs fan's soul. But it's not the NHL. You can't play like that right now. And I'm glad, even though I don't like that they took him out of the game, I'm glad that they called that, because you don't want that kind of thing happening, especially to young people. Like, even though Schindler got up and was able to play the rest of the game, thank goodness. Like, there's a significant height and size difference between those two people. And like you said, if you hit through or you throw your hips out and you throw a solid hip check and he flips over, maybe a minor, maybe. Worst case scenario. But instead I can't help but feel like he was probably told before the game, like, hey, go out and make a statement, let our pressure feel known and let our who we are be known right from the beginning of the game. And he might have been all jacked up on goofballs, and you go out, you make a silly decision, and you spend the rest of the game in the bleachers. Like, you know, 10 minutes after the game starts, it's showing him, like, in a suit with the other players that aren't playing, like, hanging out on their phones. Like, I mean, I can't imagine there would be any supplemental discipline for that simply because of the timing that had happened in the game, right? Is that your guesstimation?
Yeah, I think because it was such a gray area and because it happened 11 seconds into the game, he essentially got his one-game suspension already. Like, he got the punishment. I don't see anything coming from it. With that said, IIHF is stingy. I think Macklin Celebrini's hit before the tournament was worse, and that probably should have gotten a one games as mentioned. But so if that didn't get anything, this probably doesn't get anything either.
There was actually, I unfortunately don't have it up right now, but there was somebody on X, sorry, not Twitter. I keep dead naming Twitter. That actually highlighted one of the, an almost identical play in the United States game that was actually not even called like a single penalty. Yeah. Do you have the information and the hit I'm talking about?
No, there's always a bunch of games that happens, and that's why I said it's a gray area, because I think a lot of times you see a hit like that and you're like, that's just a really good hit. That's a play that we love seeing. Like I said, if there wasn't that explosion upwards in his feet leaving the ice, I think that explosion upwards and the feet leaving the ice are the two things that makes the officials go, we have to penalize this a little harder. Because every other hit I've seen like that, for the most part, if the feet are leaving the ice, it's afterwards because of contact or something like that. It's not the guy exploding through the head. And I think that's the issue.
It was as solid as a hit as I've seen in the last couple of days. That's certainly for sure. And even though, you know, Canada is able to come through and end up beating Germany, you know, credit where it's due, Germany held on right to the very end. And even when they pulled their goalie, I thought that there was a chance that they score another one and bring it within two or bring it within one. So definitely a good game. You have to be happy with that game if you're a Germany fan, even though now you do have to go face, I believe it's Norway, right, in the single relegation game on Thursday.
So Germany will play Norway in the single relegation. That'll be an interesting game because Norway, although they haven't won any games this year, they've been feisty in every game, and I think that's not something that Germany can say. So it'll be interesting. I think Germany will want to stay up, but Norway doesn't get the chance to stay up very often. So they have a good team. They've got some good young players and guys that will be back next year. Maybe we see Norway stick around. It'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I always love whenever teams that don't necessarily get the same opportunities or don't always play as well as other teams do are able to come in and be like a dark horse. Like, I love watching teams that no one thought was going to make it, like, go and have a little bit of a mini run, even if nothing ever really comes of it, just because it's so good for like the culture in that country, right? Like, even Germany the other day beating, what was it, like, was it Finland or Latvia for the first time? Finland. Yeah. For the first time in, like, 27 years. Like, even though, you know, Germany now loses against Canada, like, you got to be excited for the fact that your team was able to finally get that Latvian monkey off its back, right?
Yeah, well, that's just it, right? Like, there were some people calling out this tournament, as always, it happens every year where they should go down to 8 teams because these bottom 2 teams are getting blown out and beaten up. Well, one of those teams is Germany, who just had one of the biggest victories in their club's history at the U20 level, beating Finland for the first time in 26 tries. Norway had the Americans, the favorite in this tournament, the biggest wagon in this tournament there is, scoreless through halfway through the second period. There's teams that are getting better. These Latvias, the Norways, the Germanies. I mean, even we look a few years back, Slovakia wasn't doing what they're doing. Czechia wasn't doing what they're doing.
Yep.
Now there's, I mean, even in a term without Russia, which obviously good reasons, you have 6 medal contenders that are legitimate. You have 6 teams that can go and get a medal, compete for the gold, and be a really good team. So I don't know. In my opinion, you let this tournament stay 10 teams. You let those teams like Kazakhstan, who will be up next year after they won the second division tournament, Belarus, another team that's been pretty good, Denmark. You have these teams coming up. It's just going to be about letting them get acclimated and letting them grow as hockey programs, because as we've seen with Canada, they're starting to close the gap a little bit.
And it's awesome. Like, I totally agree with you in the fact that sometimes competition between teams that don't normally face off against each other is nothing but good. Like, there are times in life and in the world where stoking the fire of competition is a good thing. And with all of the stuff that's going on around the world right now, you know, not necessarily always a bad thing to have a distraction like this where your team, you know, maybe your team isn't able to go and win the gold every year, but you go further than you think you were going to. You go further next year than you went this year, and then so on and so on, and you build steam, and all of a sudden, you know, like you said, there are teams even now that 5 years ago, Slovenia, like, they weren't they were being laughed off the ticket. And now there are people like buying those jerseys. And like even Finland last year, who was able to elevate their game, and Sweden, who won a few years ago, like it's so good for the country and it gets more young people involved in the sport. And when the sport is already like kind of hard to get into because of how expensive it is, and it doesn't feel very accessible for countries that aren't necessarily like, you know, hallmark or marquee level countries when it comes to hockey, when you think of like a classical hockey sense, some of the best players came from countries that no one had ever come from until they came from there. Alice Sweden, right? How long were Swedes kept out of the game because no one would take them seriously? And then all of a sudden Boreas Salman comes over and now the floodgates are open. And it's only a good thing. The more people that we can get from different places involved in the world, involved with hockey, the better our sport will be. That's just, I'm sure you feel the same, but.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. Well, all good things, right? So let's talk about, make sure you get your questions in. We are going to do a mini press conference here in just a second. You are watching Game Over International. We have Tony Ferrari from the Hockey News, the drafts prospect analyst. We are very happy to have him on. So please make sure you hit likes, hit subscribe. We are going to obviously have a game over for the game against Czechia on Tuesday after the game that starts at 8:30 in the morning. I will be at work, so I will not be able to watch. But let's talk about the incoming second quarter round final that is coming up on Tuesday morning. What can Canada expect from the Czechia team on Tuesday morning here, Tony?
Well, it's a rematch of last year's gold medal game. Neither of these teams quite have the top end, the guys that were there last year doing what they were doing. But these are two very, very good teams that haven't quite figured it out yet, I think. It's been an interesting tournament for both of them. Czechia lost to Slovakia, lost to the United States, but they put up a fight. They pushed they're the only team to push the United States to the overtime and really give them any trouble. They're a team that has Filip Mašar and all these really good players, or Jiří Kulíš, not Filip Mašar, that are able to score goals. They're a team that has the ability to push Canada to its limits. As for Canada, they need to get their game together overall. They need to clean up some of that missed passes. They need to clean up some of the miscues that they had in the defensive zone. They need their defensemen to play a little bit more responsibly and become a bit more of a unit. It seems like five guys playing out there that haven't ever played together. It's like going to a beer league pickup game and starting off by throwing your sticks in the middle, and now you're with five guys you've never played with, and that's what Team Canada looks like a lot of times. So they're going to have to refine things because Czechia plays like a very well-oiled machine when they're going, and they've been getting better as the tournament's gone on. So I don't want to say it, but I wouldn't be shocked if Czechia could take down Canada in the quarterfinals and keep them out of the medal conversation.
It would be a huge thing for Czechia as a country and their fans to take down the Canadian Goliath, because even though, like we've said basically this whole stream, Canada is not the team of years past where they are the far and away Vegas odds favorites. There are other teams that are making excellent arguments that they are going to be in the conversation for a gold medal. And even though I actually won't be able to watch that game because I think a lot of people will probably be at work, I imagine it's going to be a firework-filled affair if it is a similar kind of defensive structure that they play like they did tonight, because the defense had a tough game tonight. The Canadian defense had a tough game this afternoon. I say tonight, it's like 4:30 and it's pitch black outside, my goodness. It was definitely something where the more the game went on, like I said earlier, it felt like the Canadians just weren't able to have the level of comfort that we've come to expect. Like you said, it felt like a beer league game where there was so much disconnect and so many missed cues and so many missed plays and so many passes that they were just in the wrong area. And Canada's got to clean that up if they have a hope of sniffing the medal podium this year, I tell you. Is there anything else that you want to talk about before we sign off here, my friend?
No, I think be careful if you're betting on Canada. That's all I'll say, because they've got a tough road ahead of them. Whether or not they beat Czechia, they're going to have a tough semifinal if they get there. And this Team Canada team is third, fourth, or fifth on the power rankings, if you will, at this point.
Yeah, and you know, for Germany to have been in so far in the conversation, so far in the game, you know, you have to imagine, like I said, Germany fans are happy about that, but I imagine a lot of Canadian fans are not overly pleased with how the Canadians have shown up so far this season. I guess we will find out if in the next probably 12 hours or 24 hours what the deal is going to be with Matt Savoy being out of the lineup, if there is going to be any secondary discipline for Connor Geeky. Obviously, we hope that there is not. And if Ferkus, is that his name? I can't remember his name. If he's going to end up coming in or if Matt Savoy is going to stay out. And we will have all that news on not only the Hockey News, but I imagine we would get it out on STPN as well. So if we do not have any questions, we're going to finish off here. Tony, thank you for coming on. Where can everybody find you on Twitter, my friend?
You can find me on Twitter, X, whatever you're calling it now, with the Tony Ferrari. That's where I'm at on all social media, so you can find me there. All my work's at the Hockey News. My quarterfinal preview should be out this afternoon. I finished it up during the Canada game. Extremely scared that Germany was going to mess everything up. So thank you, Canada, for finally pulling through.
I'm glad they didn't make you a liar, that's for sure. So make sure you follow Tony on Twitter. Make sure you follow the Hockey News if you don't already. You can find me on Twitter at LaurenInTheSix and, of course, STPN as well. If you could hit like and subscribe. Loved having you here, Tony. Thank you for coming on. I know it was a little bit of a last-minute adjustment, but appreciate having you on. Let's go, Canada. Tuesday morning, 8:30 a.m. against Czechia. We will see if the Canucks can hold on and push through. Have a good night, everybody. Happy New Year. Yeah!